Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
Trent, I'm doing pretty great. It's, you know, an exciting day as we got to call basketball games yesterday. Got to kind of relax a little bit today and just watch some football. So the Browns won. Being an Ohio fan, you played the Miami Dolphins, and as a Colts fan, we lost to the Dolphins, so congrats to the Browns. But Trent, how are you doing?
I'm ready for break. I haven't got to go home yet, so I'm excited to be able to go home and see my family a little bit. I'm still going to have to worry about school because I have a lot of work I still need to get done for the remainder of the semester, and there's not very much time left. So I've just been working on art projects a little bit today, and I rearranged my room a little bit, so my TV's in a different place, so I don't have to move it every time I move around my room.
Yeah, you know, Sundays are kind of that productive day to kind of get stuff done, but also you want to relax a little bit. But with so much homework and everything else going on, it's just kind of a pain in the butt a little bit. You kind of feel like you don't have time to relax.
Yeah, and I did my laundry Saturday night after that, after Pat and I called the basketball game. And I haven't got around to fold it, so I still have to do that tonight too because I'm going to have to pack clothes to go home in, and I can't pack clothes that are not folded. So sometime before now on Tuesday, my clothes will be folded. But
that's why you just pull the card that I do and you just wait to do laundry till you get home.
I didn't have any clothes left.
Oh,
so
that
I had to do laundry.
That's a problem.
I was trying to pace it out and make sure that I didn't have to do laundry till I got home, and it just didn't work out that way. So I had to do it on Saturday, and now I'm gonna have 3 days of clothes.
It's a good time, but you know what? Everyone has their own things. I'm one of those people that waits to the last second to do laundry where I don't have any clothes left, and I'm kind of forced to do it as well. But Trent, exciting times for the basketball teams. Great week. You know, only one loss for the men's team. Other than that, undefeated. Going 3-1 for the team. I was right on that one. 3-1 for the basketball teams this week. So let's go ahead and get into it a little bit.
Before we jump into basketball, Pat and I had a chance to sit down with some of the track runners this past week. There was two different times that we met with them. Pat asked them the questions, and I kind of ran the board. And so here are those interviews with those three runners.
I am here to preview the track season. Track season will get started here on January 11th. So once we get back from Christmas break, track season will be full go. But I do have a few runners here in the studio. I'm going to go ahead and have them introduce themselves today.
All right, I'm Sienna. I'm a senior here, and I'm on the sprint side of the team. I'm in the 200 and 400, and I long jump.
I'm Austin Hernandez. I'm a sophomore. I'm more the distance side of things. I run the 8, the 16, the DMR, and whatever coach puts me in.
So yeah, you have a while before the season actually starts. So go ahead and walk us through what your typical practice is getting ready here for the season.
Getting ready for the season, it's really one of those things where coach has us right now on a 10-day break before we start actual training again and starting picking it back up.
For the sprints and throwers side of things, we started really, really early. We did a lot of conditioning, and then we went straight into actual practices, and we've been practicing for a while now, actually.
Austin, just to ask you a little bit, cross-country season is officially over. What are some things that you felt went well with cross-country, and what are some things you're hoping to get better going into this track season?
That's a good question, Pat. Some things that went well this cross-country season, I think the team, we really bonded as a whole, guys and girls side, and I think moving forward on the track side of things, I think we can bring that to the track side to where we all, sprints, jumps, hurdles, and distance, we're all mixed together to where we just bond.
And this is Coach Yakno's second year as coach. She's had a full year of recruiting under her belt. How important do you think that'll be actually having a lot of runners and just even more athletes altogether for the team?
Yeah, we did get a lot of good freshmen this year. There's a lot more people just even on the sprint side. Like, the distance side really hasn't had a problem these past few years with pulling numbers, like, and bring people onto the team. Like, last year there was two girl sprinters, and now we brought at least three more, and they're decent runners. Like, they bring substantial, like, talent to the team.
It's exciting times, and I know it's always been kind of frustrating for the track runners, knowing, like, oh, we don't have someone in this event, so it kind of hurts our team score. So actually having people to compete in almost all the events will definitely be important, and hopefully give you guys a chance to compete in conference as well as just in the different events that you guys will run in throughout the year. You guys always normally go on a trip somewhere warm. Where are you guys going this year? Are you guys excited?
We're going to Myrtle Beach again, to Coastal Carolina.
That's pretty exciting. I know it's normally not super, super warm there. Do you get at least enjoy the beach a little bit at all when you're there?
Not really. Last year we kind of struggled with that because with how the distance runners, especially, I can speak on that part, how we had just events back to back, and we didn't really enjoy ourselves. We didn't really have any downtime because we usually had stuff planned throughout the day, and then with us having our events, obviously, on top of that.
It's a really big meet to match.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And to finish it up, Sienna, your senior season, what are some things that you're looking forward to through this season, and what are some goals you're looking to accomplish?
I definitely like the memories aspect of the team. I'm really excited to make memories with some new people and just to have these memories to hold with myself for the rest of my life. And I'm really excited to see how the team does this year. We do have a lot of talent, and everyone's put a lot of work in this preseason. So I'm excited to see how it goes and what we can do.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. I have another athlete here in studio. I'm going to go ahead and have him introduce himself.
I'm Justin Kaufman. I'm a senior pole vaulter.
And Justin, what has been some preparations you guys have done this off season to get ready for this upcoming season?
Well, a lot of it starts about the middle of June, and we do a lot of lifting. We stay on our lifting cycle all the way through till we get to school. And then we kind of go through these things a couple weeks where it's tough, and we do a lot of intense training, a lot of cardio, a lot of strength building, and we go right into our preseason lifting and sprint workouts.
This is Coach Yachno's second season under the helm. You've had two different coaches now. What do you think Coach Yachno brings to the table to really get this track team to the next level?
Oh, first thing that comes to mind is energy. She can be a little crazy at times, and sometimes that's just what we need.
Yeah, and also another thing we were talking about with Austin and Sienna was the fact that there's a lot more athletes this year. So that way you actually have people competing in each event. How important will that be for team scores and just the overall just atmosphere with the team?
It's helped out a lot. Like, as far as those first couple weeks when we get back to campus, there's been a lot more team camaraderie and everything this year. Having, like, everyone else around, it's just awesome. It's a great feeling.
And then going to Myrtle Beach, are you excited to go to Myrtle Beach? I know, Austin, Sienna, you guys don't get a lot of free time. Do you ever try and sneak over to the beach a little bit and be able to relax?
Since I'm only a vaulter, and that's really all I do, I compete one day for a couple hours. So with it being two-day meet and we're down there for 3 days, I get plenty of free time. So I was definitely down at the beach last year.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know Austin, he said with him being a long distance, he really doesn't get to, so at least a few guys get to enjoy the beach. And then for pole vaulting, you lost your coach, left last year to go to Finley. How has that been an adjustment for you mentally and just pole vaulting altogether?
Well, we lost Coach Dillon going into my junior year, and I was coachless for most of the season last year, and that was really tough. Vault's one of those things where you have to have someone there, because if you're thinking while you're vaulting, you're not going to vault. bad things are going to happen. Sometimes you just got to do, and you got to have someone else thinking for you. So last season was very tough, to say the least. And we also lost our core group of alders. We lost a alder, two Finley. One just decided not to come back out. And then Tori Bowen ended up coming out, but even though she's not coming out this year. But going into this year, we have a new coach, Ellie Bradick, and she's been phenomenal. We're seeing lots of improvement from the first couple practices and everything, and it's really looking up this year. I'm hitting a lot of good marks just from short runs, short pulls in practice.
That's great to hear. I mean, I can't imagine not having a coach not there to be able to help you all season. So I commend you on that. But last go around, senior season, what are some things you're looking forward to accomplishing, and what are some goals you're looking to accomplish as well?
About the middle of this summer, I kind of had a no crap moment. I've been competing since T-ball all the way up through, and I was like, this is the last year for anything. And I took everything very seriously. I'm hoping to hit a couple good marks, get some good placing at conference. I'd love to go top three and make the podium and be all HCAC. That'd be awesome. But we'll just kind of see how the dice fall.
Yeah, so good luck in the season. Like I said earlier, the season does start out January 11th. Thank you for coming in, and good luck.
Thanks.
And there you had it, the three track runners that Pat was talking to a little bit.
Yeah, it was great to sit down with Sienna, Austin, and Justin just to kind of, you know, see where their mind's at. Second year under Coach Yachno, so it's exciting times. Unfortunately, their first meet got moved, so it's not. They were supposed to come back this Friday and be back for practice on Friday and the meet on Saturday. Fortunately, it was moved, and they're no longer attending that meet, so they have to wait until after Christmas break before their first meet of the season. So just some more time for them to be able to practice and get ready, but we did want to get you that preview here from a couple of their athletes, so that way you can see what they're excited for and, you know, what they've been doing here in the off season.
Yeah, and we'll jump right into basketball. We'll jump into men's basketball first. So the Bluffton University men's basketball team traveled to Kalamazoo, Michigan on Wednesday, November 20th, to take on the Kalamazoo College Hornets in a non-conference matchup. Unfortunately for the Beavers, they finished on the wrong end of a tight game that resulted in a 71-67 loss. Bluffton dropped to 1-2 overall, while Kalamazoo improved to 2-2 overall on the season.
With 3:23 left in the game, sophomore Jameel Cosby would lay one in for the Beavers, making the score 66-63 in favor of Bluffton. Kalamazoo responded with a 5-point spurt to take a 68-66 lead with a minute 27 left after a missed Bluffton opportunity at the free throw line. Andrew Renner drew a foul with 12 seconds remaining and would have a chance to tie things up. Unfortunately, he split the pair, and that was all it took for the Hornets to seal their 71-67 victory over the Beavers.
While the first few minutes of the game were back and forth, Bluffton started to pull away when Renner drilled a 3-pointer to make it 16-9 with 14:33 left in the first half. The Beavers would see that lead evaporate when Kalamazoo's Ben Reiter nailed a triple to take the first lead at 28-26 since the opening bucket of the contest. Bluffton answered back to take a 38-34 lead at the halftime break.
Bluffton stayed on top for the first 9 minutes of the second half until Kalamazoo's Reiter converted a pair of free throws to take the lead 54-53 with 11:07 to play. It was neck and neck the whole way down the stretch, but Kalamazoo got it done for the 71-67 victory on Wednesday night.
Renner paced the Beavers with 21 points and a team-high 9 rebounds, while Desmond Brown also notched double figures with 13 points on 3 of 7 from distance. Aaron Rich, Isaiah Taylor, Jared Kennard, and Brown all dished out 2 assists for the Beavers.
Bluffton shot 26 of 53 from the field, including 8 of 20 from behind the 3-point line. Beavers pulled down 38 rebounds compared to 27 for the home Hornets.
And as we said earlier, Bluffton was back in action on Saturday, November 23rd, when they played host to Heidelberg University.
The team hosts Heidelberg University on Saturday, November 23rd, in a non-conference matchup. Beavers controlled the game from the get-go, only allowing Heidelberg to take the lead once in a 68-56 victory for the good guys. Bluffton improved to 2-2 overall, while Heidelberg fell to 1-3 on the season.
Bluffton controlled the tempo for nearly 40 minutes, with Heidelberg's lone lead of the game at 4-2 when Tamal Watkins laid one in for the Student Princes with 17:06 to go in the first half. The Beavers' largest lead would come with 7 minutes 58 seconds left in the game when Carter Kennard split a pair at the free throw line to make the score 58-43. That would be enough to seal the 68-56 victory for the Beavers.
With both teams missing their first few shots to start the game, Bluffton would get on the scoreboard when Aaron Rich knocked down a jumper to make it 2-0. Heidelberg would take the lead, but Bluffton did not flinch. The home team went up 11-4 when Rich got to the rack with 13:57 left in the first half.
With 2:58 left in the first half, senior Isaiah Taylor drilled a pair of free throws to make it 35-23. Both teams would get another bucket before the break, making it 37-25 in favor of Bluffton after the first half.
The Beavers stayed on top for the rest of the contest and did not look back. Plenty of missed shots by the Student Princes and a flurry of fouls made it too difficult for a comeback try, giving the Beavers their second victory of the season.
Andrew Renner paced the Beavers with 24 points and 6 rebounds. Sophomore Jameel Cosby also notched double figures with 13 points on 5 of 9 shooting. Desmond Brown pulled down a career-high 8 rebounds, while Taylor led the team in assists with the career-high, tying 6 on the day.
Bluffton was 22 of 50 from the field, including 5 of 13 from the 3-point line. Heidelberg pulled down 37 rebounds, which is one more than the Beavers.
Bluffton will be back in action on Wednesday, November 27th, when they travel to Hiram College for a Thanksgiving Eve matchup with the Terriers. Tip-off is slated for 7 p.m.
So obviously a tough loss on Wednesday for the Beavers against Kalamazoo, but they were kind of able to rebound a little bit on Saturday, and they looked dominant in that game. Just a lot of confidence, and the leading scorer in Andrew Renner ended up with 24 points but didn't have a single point in the first 10 minutes of the game. And it was kind of crazy to see. Once he had that first shot fall, it seemed like the floodgates just opened for him. He had all the confidence in the world. Step-back threes, fadeaway shots. He had a lot of confidence once he finally saw that first bucket fall just under the 10-minute mark left in the first half. And you saw Isaiah Taylor just play out of his mind. They ran the offense through him, dished the ball, scored the ball, played great defense against their big guys, and got their big guys in foul trouble, which definitely helped down the stretch, which kind of forced them to have to play a smaller lineup. So just overall, a fantastic game, and Trent and I were loving every second of getting to call that game.
Yeah, like Pat said, Renner struggled for a large majority of that whole first half, not being able to score a bucket. But once he did, it was just game over. He was almost automatic out there. Anything he was putting up was going down. And as he said, Isaiah Taylor, not only on the offensive side, but defensively, he came up really big, either boxing him out to go up and get that defensive rebound, or just he blocked a couple shots as well, and just all game, just tight defense. And if you listen to our preview with them, with the interview Pat did with them, they said their one big focus was their defensive play this year. And we hadn't been able to see them yet because they've been away. But that opening home game for them, really, they played exactly what they were preaching to us.
Yeah, they definitely showcased that defense. And you have to give credit also to Jared Kennard and Carter Kennard. Carter Kennard played out of his mind. Desmond Brown getting in a little bit of foul trouble, and Carter came in, guarded their best player in Jamal Woods, and Dylan Woods, excuse me. And Dylan Woods was shut down by Carter Kennard and Desmond Brown. He got going a little bit to start the second half, but after that, kind of put the clamps on him. Carter came with a couple of really nice behind chase down blocks. It was great to see some production off the bench. You saw most of the scoring coming from those starters, so I'm sure Coach Neal will be preaching for Jared Kennard, Carter Kennard, Zeddy Pollock to look to score the ball a little more. But getting Brevin Dye and Ronnie James back from injury will be huge, and will just kind of boost that bench even more and take some pressure off of those starters so that they don't have to feel like they have to score as much.
Yeah, and I was talking to Brev earlier today, and he said he goes back on Wednesday to the doctor for a checkup to see if he will be able to play. He said right now he can do anything except for contact, so he's just waiting on whether he can start to get going and actually get playing. And they said Ronnie, he's out indefinitely. They don't know how long it'll take for his shoulder to be fine. But as Pat said, once those two are back, that gives them a deeper bench. They only played three subs.
Yeah.
So they only played eight guys. But those three subs were vital in defensive play. And then they were just moving the ball on offense. They weren't shooting very much. They were leaving that to the starters. But just great all-around play from that Beaver squad.
Yeah, can't wait for the rest of this season. This team is definitely going to be a threat in the conference. And, you know, I haven't seen the rest of the conference play just yet, but I think down the stretch, it's going to be hard to take this Beaver team out once conference hit, especially if Renner continues to have the confidence in his shot like he did in that game. We are going to move on to women's basketball, who only had one game this week as they played on Saturday at Oberlin College for an early afternoon matchup. The Bluffton's secured a tight 87-85 victory over the Yao Woman in overtime. The Woman kept their undefeated streak alive at 3-0 following the victory.
Back and forth baskets from both teams kept the score tied until midway through the first quarter when Bluffton used a 5-0 run to take an 11-6 lead with 3 minutes left on the clock. A layup from freshman Sammy Shardo gave the Beavers a 16-15 lead. A Nora Heminger three-pointer gave the visitors 31-26 lead, but they couldn't hold the lead as Oberlin came back to tie the game at 35-35 going into the half.
A Brianna Gillig make from behind the arc gave the Beavers a 39-35 lead early in the second half. Oberlin continued to put on the pressure as a layup from Jasmine Sorrells made the score 40-39 in favor of Oberlin. Another Heminger shot would put Bluffton back on top 51-50, but an Oberlin layup at the buzzer from Tyler Collins would give the Yao Woman a 52-51 lead going into the final quarter.
Oberlin pushed their lead early in the fourth quarter, but a Gillig layup would put the Beavers back on top 59-58. The Yao Woman would regain the lead and hold it for much of the last quarter until two shots from the charity stripe and a deep three from Heminger put Bluffton up 72-70 with 41 seconds left to play. Oberlin's Sammy Spainer hit a layup which tied the game at 72 and sent it into overtime.
A shot from deep and two free throws from TJ Mills put the Beavers up 77-75 with 3:55 remaining, and they never looked back. Oberlin's Spainer put up a three with 1 second to go, but it wasn't enough as the Beavers capped off an 87-85 victory.
The Beavers placed four women in double figures, led by a career-high point, 25, from Gillig, who was 8 of 17 from the field. Mills and Brock chipped in with 19 and 18 points, respectively, while Heminger added 13. Heminger also ripped down a career-high 9 rebounds. Mills, Gillig, and junior Abby Parkins also picked up 3 steals in the victory.
Bluffton went 27 of 59 from the field, including 5 of 12 from behind the three-point line. Oberlin shot 36 of 76 from the field and 6 of 14 from deep. Bluffton made 28 of 42 of their shots at the free throw line compared to Oberlin, 7 of 9. The Beavers pulled down one fewer board, 39-38, but had 4 more fast break points, 10-6. The women are back in action on Tuesday, November 26, when they welcome Heidelberg University to Copeland Court. Tip-off is slated for 6 p.m. Come out and support your Beavers the little pre-Thanksgiving treat. Unfortunately, Trent and I will be home for Thanksgiving, so we will not be able to call that game. But if you have a chance, go ahead and go to the game if you can. If not, go ahead and watch that live stream. There won't be any audio to that, but you can go ahead and watch the live stream and be able to at least watch the game if you're unable to make it. But Trent, I don't know about you. We were calling the men's game, so we didn't get a chance to watch this women's game. But the difference in that game was definitely from the free throw line. We shot 42 free throws to Oberlin's 9.
Yeah.
So I think the difference at the free throw line, you're seeing girls be extremely aggressive. Brianna Gillig, you know, plays like a maniac down in the paint. I definitely would not want to guard her down there. And then I'm getting 19 and 18 points from Mills and Kylie Brock was also huge. You're just seeing this women's team have a lot of confidence, which is something that TJ and Kylie kind of talked about when they were in here with us, is that they want to have a lot of confidence. They weren't happy with where they were ranked in the preseason, and they weren't happy with how the season ended last year. They want to rebound. Sammy Shardo's also giving him huge minutes all you know, as a freshman. So you're seeing this team that's pretty scary, and another team you don't really want to see down the stretch of a conference tournament.
Yeah, and I think what's impressive is only those 9 free throws that Oberlin had. Defensively, they said they were going to try and work and get their defensive play a lot better, and that just shows only giving up that many free throws is just props to them for not fouling. That's just good defense, and a lot of that game came down to what happened at the free throw line, and, I mean, they were working the ball. Obviously, they were getting those fouls. So if they just keep doing that, then they're going to keep getting that same result.
You also saw a lot of resilience and toughness to be able to pull out a game that close when you have a team on your back every single time. It seems like you take a lead there. They have an answer right back. And, you know, they didn't put their head down. They didn't, you know, mope and pout. They just said, you know what, we're going to win this game. And they did whatever they had to do and ended up pulling out the victory, which it was good to see. And I'm excited to see how this women's team is going to continue to compete for the remainder of this season.
Yeah, and also with that, it's kind of impressive because their team doesn't have that much experience. A lot of the girls only have 1 year varsity play under them, and with Sammy Shardo, this is her first college action, and she's been tearing it up. But just a lot of that goes to them wanting to win and them wanting to show people that they deserve more respect than what they got preseason. And I think that's really what's going to push them a lot this year, is wanting to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm kind of upset we don't get to call the game on Tuesday because I just want to watch this women's team continue to play. But my family wants to see me. I want to see my family for Thanksgiving. And so it's a little unfortunate, and it's always hard as well being home for an entire month during Christmas break, because there's still basketball games going on. Those basketball players don't really get to go home. I think talking to Aaron Rich on the men's team, I think he said he gets 4 days at home. I think it is about it. So they don't get much time at home, and it's hard because I'm sure it's harder for them to be able to play a home game and not really have any students there. So I can't wait to get back from Christmas break to be able to call the rest of the games, to be able to be there and watch. And luckily that's the majority of conference for us to be able to watch. But basketball team is rolling. Hopefully they continue to roll, and good luck to them, to the women on Tuesday and the men on Wednesday.
And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver.